Father, this morning, we just commit ourselves as a church here, all our churches, all your loved ones, Lord. Those who are the elect as you call them. Those who you know from before the foundation of the world. We come together in the name of Jesus. We declare your sovereignty, your power, your might, your goodness, your loving kindness. We declare your kingdom rules over every other kingdom, Lord. We come acknowledging your hand upon our lives. That your hand would be upon everyone today through this month. We thank you for bringing us through 2 months. We trust that you will take us through this month too. And you will take us well. That when the enemy comes in like a flood, we by faith will raise up the standard through the power of the Holy Spirit, the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. You have said we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Therefore, we declare it, Lord, that we are not losers. We are victorious in and through Christ Jesus, Lord. Speak healing into every sick body because it's our right. Blood-bought right. We speak strength to every body that is weak because that also was purchased on the sacrifice on the cross. We receive our abundance as our right in the kingdom because you paid for it, Lord. So as your words say, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the poor say that they are rich. Let the weak say they are strong because of Christ and Christ alone. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. We want to start the month in that note. Now we commit this time as we study your word, just given to us to prepare for the days that are coming and then to pray. We surrender our body, our soul, our spirits into thy hands, O Lord. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. You need me 30 seconds? Okay. Net is fine, right? Give me a thumbs up, though I don't drink it, okay? Ready? Okay. So we are in Revelation chapter 9. Then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fallen from heaven to the earth. To him was given the key to the bottomless pit or the abyss. He opened the bottomless pit and smoke arose out of the pit like a smoke of a great furnace. So the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. Then out of the smoke locusts came upon the earth, and to them was given power as scorpions of the earth have power. They were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth or any green thing or any tree, only those men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. And they were not given authority to kill them, but to torment them for 5 months. And their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. In those days, men will seek death and will not find it. They will desire to die and death will flee from them. The shape of the locust was like horses prepared for battle. On their heads were crowns of something like gold. Their faces were like the faces of men. They had hair like women's hair and their teeth were like lion's teeth. They had breastplates like breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots with many horses running into battle. They had tails like scorpions, and there were stings in their tails. Their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them, the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, but in Greek he had the name Apollyon. One woe is past, behold, still 2 more woes are coming after these things. So we are in the midst of the great tribulation, okay? Demons, or fallen angels, or devils, whichever category you want to call them, that were not till now free, are going to be freed, okay? God, in other words, were saying to mankind that, you didn't want to obey me. You want to obey the devil. You can have you can have him, the full force of it. Okay. Note, in this first set, they are only allowed to torment and not to kill. Okay, to torment and not to kill. So, spiritually, we have to look, because we are not speaking to those people who are being tormented. We are speaking to people within the kingdom of God so that you don't get tormented. Remember the parable in Matthew 18. Remember the servant that was forgiven of a great debt. And then he went and caught somebody by neck who owed him a small amount. When the king, the master, heard about it, his judgment in Matthew 18, 23 to 25, this is what he says. 18:23-25. Therefore the king of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. Okay? And when he had begun to settle, one was brought to him. He was not able to pay. His master commanded he be sold with his wife and children, all that he had, and the payment to be made. Yeah, we'll go further down. Yeah. Yeah. We'll go to the last part. Okay. The master, actually it's 34, 35. His master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. My heavenly Father also will do to you if each one of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Okay, so we need to understand. We need to understand. These are people. Okay, people who will receive the full torment of God who were unmerciful. Okay, so we need to understand, like I said, mercy is a key. It's a very important key in the kingdom of God. Because what God gives us is not so much material things which we require, he will give us. What he gives us in the kingdom of God to overcome any situation is grace. But to access grace, you have to go through the doorway of mercy. And mercy is given or shown only to those who are merciful. Okay, merciful. And those who are not merciful, even now, go through torment. Okay, go through torment. But we are seeing the way they will be tormented. And please understand, these demons, are demons or fallen angels, remember, they never received mercy from God. They never received mercy from God. Okay? They never received mercy from God. And this set of demons have been locked up for ages. Okay? So imagine the wrath with which they will come. Okay? They will come. Okay? All that suppressed anger. Okay? Suppressed anger. So please understand, in the kingdom of God, okay, like I said, this is not religion. Religion doesn't require those things, okay? The law of the government does not require those things. These are the principles or the laws of the kingdom. So you will see there the king would hand him over to the tormentors. And here also you will see unmerciful men and women will receive the full wrath of God through these demons. There are 8 or 9 characteristics of these demonic entities. Okay? And this description is kind of scary. If you come to 9 and 7. If you come to 9 and 7. 9 and 7. The shape of the locusts was like horses prepared for battle. Okay? They were like horses prepared for battle. Okay? Meaning they are coming like cavalry. Okay? They're coming like cavalry, prepared, fast. They have that order. They're coming like that. They have crowns like gold, which means they have the power to conquer. Crown always signifies power, authority. They have been given power or authority to overpower people. Their faces were like men for to intelligence. But they had hair like mad women. Okay, they had hair like women's hair. Faces like men, hair like women. And the teeth were like lion's teeth. Okay, there were teeth like were lion's teeth. Okay, it's a very demonic thing. If you understand a lion's teeth, the lion, when it takes hold of, usually most animals he takes hold of is bigger and heavier than him, but he never lets go of his grip. If you have noticed it, no, the wilder beast and all, you say he goes for the neck, whatever, he just hangs on to it. He doesn't let go of that grip. Okay, so you have here the speed with which they come, or the unity with which they come like a cavalry, and they got face like men, hair like women, and teeth like lion. Okay, now we need to ask ourselves, these down the ages, people look at all these things, and nobody is able to figure this out because these are all symbols and images. But if you look back into our own times, okay, our own times, if you look back, it was like in the last century, beginning of the last century, like when we see what we call the feminist movement began. The feminist movement began. Then, okay, one is got to do with gender, the other is got to do with sexuality. So you will see these are the two things that have been going around, sexuality and gender. So with the feminist movement came lesbianism, then it became bisexual, then came the trans agenda. This is how the devil deceives. Okay, the devil deceives. Remember, the Bible says very clearly, it's a woman who is usually deceived first. Okay. At the end of it, the problem with the deception is this. You do not know you are deceived for a long time. By the time you realize you are deceived, it's out of your hands. It goes out of your hands. Now if you look at it, the trans agenda has taken over. Nobody is talking about any of these things. The trans agenda has taken over. The trans agenda is basically two. The woman claiming to be man, or the man claiming to be a woman. Okay. And the dangerous part, it's the one who always suffers is a woman. The one who suffers is the woman. That's what you are seeing. Nobody is talking about the woman pretending to be a man. Because it doesn't matter to the man. The man knows anyway, you come into our field, we can handle it. But the issue is when the men go into the women's side pretending to be women. Okay, let us be brutal about it. A woman pretends that she is a man and comes to a man's bathroom. He says, welcome, come in here. We have no issues. Okay. We have no issues. Come to our locker room, we have no issues. Come to our sports, we have no issues. You come anywhere where we are, we have no issues. We know how to handle it. But think the other way. The man who pretends he's a woman goes to the woman's bathroom, the woman's locker, the woman's sports, the moons, and even till yesterday morning, the one who won in one of this thing is a man who pretending a woman in woman's sports. So ultimately, you need to realize feminism deceives the woman, but by the time she has realized, it's out of her hand. She can't do anything because the trans have taken over. So you probably, we are looking at these demonic entities which will take over and torment, and we are seeing a physical picture of it. Faces like men, hair like women, teeth like lion, and they are ruthless. They are ruthless. Okay? You remember when judgment came to Lot's house, how the Sodomites all gathered. How they were ruthless. They were trying to break down the door and the angels had to intervene. So we have to look at it like, until these things come to pass, a lot of things I say, though they are open and revealed and unlocked, but they are locked by time. Locked by time. As time progresses, that's why I read on the ones who have worked on eschatology, the book of Revelation, down the hundreds of years back, and they will see there is a difference because there's something about commonality, and then there is a difference because of the times they were living in. So the closer we get to the end, the better we are able to understand. So you will see the grip is like a lion. Okay, grip is like a lion. And then, If you come to the next words, okay. They had breastplates like breastplates of iron, meaning they are absolutely hard-hearted and they will show no mercy. No mercy at all. Okay, they will show no mercy at all. Okay. And the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots with many horses running into battle. Okay. Basically, it was saying that the speed and the formation with which they will come, they will break down any form of resistance. Okay. Remember, this is all upon them, not the ones who are sealed. Okay. Only on those ones who refused. And then when you come to verse 10, it says they had tails like scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men for 5 months. So the Bible says over there, they had tails. I told you on Monday that if you read up on, at least on Google, you know, we are Googleites, if you read the symptoms of the usual symptoms of a scorpion bite unattended is almost exactly like the demonic. They start forming at their mom and they start having seizures. They start shaking. The eyes start rolling. It looks like one of those demonic episodes. Okay. So God is going to release them. Okay. God is released and they have. But they had only power. Remember, everything is controlled by God. So never ever fear or worry about these things because God is in absolute control. So they have power only to hurt men for 5 months. And men would want to die, verse 11 will say, they had a king, as king over them, the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon. In Greek, he had the name Apollyon. Okay, so they have a king, an angel from Abyss. They have a king. If you turn with me to, if I'm right, Proverbs 30:27. Yeah, Proverbs 30:27. Okay. The locusts have no king, yet they all advance in rank. Here, though they rise like locusts, they have a king. And they advance in ranks. They have, okay. So, I mean, another side of the brilliance of Solomon is that, how did he discover locusts have no king? How did he study these things? Okay, he was the original scientist, researcher, okay. He checked out locusts. I mean, how could you find, because he knows bees have a queen. We know that. But the locusts have no king. Yet they go in formation. Okay. So that way he was the original PhD. Okay. But here they have a king. These demons have a king. Okay. Has a king over them, the angel of the bottomless pit. Okay, now this is definitely not Satan because Satan is not here. It is like we know the hierarchies. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities. So there are principalities, higher orders, like you have archangels. Satan also has duplicated everything. He has duplicated everything. So he also has. So this was one of the archangels we do not know who was locked up. Okay. Because a lot of things are secret. We do not know what happened in the other realm in the ages past. It will be revealed maybe when we reach eternity. We need to know. A lot of things we don't know. The question is, how does it help us by knowing these things, what happened over there? But the word either Abaddon or Apollyon both mean destruction. Both mean destruction. And in John 10:10, Jesus had made it very clear. The ultimate aim of Satan is to destroy. This is not just not to steal, to kill. He will not be satisfied with it. It is to destroy. Okay. So, we have to also know the other side about it. Luke 10:19, what Jesus tells his disciples. Mm-hmm. Okay. Behold, I give you authority to trample upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So we need to understand we have power. We have authority over these things and we should not be tormented. But for that, we have to be careful because in Hebrews or Ephesians 4:26 and 27, The word of God says this, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, because what did it lead? It leads to hardening of a heart and leads to being unmerciful. Okay, that is the problem. The problem is not with the anger. The problem is what it does to your heart. Okay, then it becomes unforgiveness and vengeance and you carry it in your heart. So the Bible says don't give place to the devil. Don't give place to the devil. Okay, the Bible says, he says, I have given you. So the simple question is, the practical question is, how do I trample upon this scorpion? By readily forgiving from the heart. That's how you trample upon. He has no. Trampling is not a literal thing. You are not literally trampling upon a spiritual entity. Meaning exercising your dominion over it. Dominion. So this is both for our protection and our edification. Jesus keeps on talking about that, especially in the Lord's Prayer. And after the Lord's Prayer, he will repeat that. He says, forgive, let go, let go, let go. The reason is because when you don't let go, other laws are triggered. They have authority, God-given authority to torment. God-given authority to torment, because he said, I told you to let go. If you don't let go, then this is what will happen to you. Okay? And this is the end of those who give place to the devil. Okay? And he will... Remember, this is basically, if you go back to Revelation 9 and verse 11... What changed our generation was 9/11. And that was, 9/11 was the day, the date, everything was chosen by them. We call it 9/11, when the world actually changed. After that, if you look back, the decline has been very, very rapid. And very, very rapid. And those people actually picked the day and the date and picked these words and picked 911. Everything. 911 is the number you dial in US for help. Okay. 911 is that they picked that. This is, we have come here to destroy the Western civilization. The last bastion of the Judeo-Christian civilization. They picked 9/11 and it comes from here. Okay. So don't think these things are random. They planned, they plotted, the demonic and the human get together, plot, they picked the date and they worked it out to the dot. So God is warning, because you need to realize these are also people who are extremely evil and wicked. They are trained in that. They are trained from childhood. That's the difference you see between Israel and Gaza, is that in Gaza, from childhood, they are trained to hate. They are trained to hate. Okay, so therefore, when they talk about their 9/11 took place in September, what happened was, what they did, even to the babies, is unbelievable. This is not normal. This is not normal what you did. It's not even butchery. Let me say that. You cannot have a corresponding thing in which even Hitler did it. Hitler didn't put babies and put them in the microwave. Yeah, okay. This is individually they did it, picked it up the kind of the way they did it. Okay, they did it. You can understand. He was equally demonic, but this was done in such a short span of time. Done by young people. Young people. Young boys and men. They were done. The other one was a whole agenda behind it and all planned, plotted, all because it took over years. This was in a space of few hours. What they did, which cannot be spoken, because it's so mind-boggling that anybody would do something like that. And you can realize the demonic hatred, okay? The demonic hatred, how when the demonic and the human come together, how evil they can become. So we have to be very, very watchful that we are out of all this, be merciful, never be part of any of these things. And verse 12 will say, one woe is past. Behold, still two more woes are coming after this. But one thing we need to understand is that's in verse 4. Okay, verse 4. Yeah. They were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth, any green thing or any tree, but only those men who have the seal of God on their forehead. That is, in the midst of all this, those who have the seal of God will be untouched. Okay. Jesus or God protected Israel in Goshen. The last set of around six plagues, he protected them. Nothing happened to them. Okay. So will he protect his servants in the worst case scenario too, during this time? Okay. The only way we see his children dying during this time is through martyrdom. And God will give them the grace for it. Okay. This is where we have to be careful. We have to be very, very careful about it. It's because this tribulation breaks out in stages. We saw the first stage, if you go back, just a refresher, in Revelation 6, 7, and 8. That is where it begins. And we are going through it. Okay, going through it, we see that Revelation 6, 7, and 8. He opened the fourth seal, and I heard the voice of the fourth living creature saying, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. Okay, that is when death will come and Hades will fall. If you go back, just refreshing, if you go back to Ezekiel 14, verse 13 and 14, and then 14:21. Son of man, when a land sins against me by persistent unfaithfulness, I will stretch out my hand against it. I will cut off its supply of bread, send famine on it, cut off man and beast from it. Even if these three men, Noah, Daniel, Job, were in it, they would deliver only themselves by their righteousness, says the Lord. And in verse 21, for thus says the Lord, how much more it shall be when I send my four severe judgments on Jerusalem, the sword, the famine, the wild beasts and pestilence, to cut off man and beast from it. What God is saying is that if these three men, okay, you look at it, you have three men met. The first is Job. You have to realize at the end of it, Job was restored. He got everything back. Daniel was able to save his generation at least. Okay, Daniel. And Noah was able to save his family. But he says, if these three people were to live in this time, they were only able to save themselves and nobody else. Nobody else. Noah wouldn't be able to save his family. Daniel wouldn't be able to save his three friends. Okay, Job wouldn't be able to even save his wife. He's saying that's how those days will be. Okay, so we have to understand how it works. Okay, so if you look over here, there are four things mentioned over there. The sword, right? He mentioned the sword, the disease, the famine, and the wild animals. So we are just not gathering knowledge. We need to understand how does God do it. If you go to Psalm 91. Okay, Psalm 91 and verse 5. Okay. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day. These are weapons of warfare. Okay, the sword. If you come to verse 6. Nor the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor the destruction that lays waste at noonday. This is talking about disease. Okay, and destruction that lays at noonday is famine. You die because there's no food. If you come to verse 13, okay, you shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample upon underfoot. It's talking about the wild beasts, okay. And if you come to verse 7 onwards, okay, verse 7 onwards, 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling place. Yes. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon. So we need to understand, if you look at the reason why, the reason is given in verse 7. 14. The reason is this. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him and I will set him on high because he has known my name. So we need to understand the protection is this. Okay. Long back we had said there is a difference between God loving us and we loving God. It's not the same. God loves us. All of us, he loves us and he loves us the same way. But very few people really love God. Really love God. And these promises are to those who love God. Love God. Okay. These promises are to those who love God. And remember, that's an important thing. Of course, when you go to 1 John, you will understand how does it play out that you love God plays out in you loving his brethren. Like I said, nothing I do affects God or changes God. I can't give him more glory because he's full of glory. My thanksgiving, my praise, nothing makes any difference to God. God will receive it, but it doesn't change anything because he's absolutely complete in himself. So even when he tells us to love him, it is seen by loving the brother. Loving the brother. Okay, loving the brother. So we need to realize that is our protection. Okay. This is our protection, because when we hear all these judgments that is rolling out, the question is, how do I protect myself from this? Okay? How do I protect myself from it? And God has given us, it's all there in scripture, God has given us how we need to protect ourselves, which is the way we need to protect ourselves. So don't take it as theology, because in the kingdom there is no theology. That's why the Bible says love working through faith or faith working through love is the greatest thing in the kingdom. Again, these two things are not the same. Okay. Like I said, a marriage or a relationship, marriage is the ultimate relationship, and then every other relationship is built on these two. A marriage is built on trust, not on love. It's built on trust. Okay. God never says to walk in love. He says to walk in faith. Okay, but our issue is trust, because trust is what we keep on breaking down. But when trust is broken down, it is when love comes into place and covers the faults. Okay, covers the faults. So God says it should be faith working through love. Okay, because the trust, it's a process. Trust is a process. Love is not a process. Love is not a process. Okay, love is not a process. Meaning, we take a baby, any baby in the church, okay, the smallest one in the church right now. You take that baby. You can love that baby easily. But you cannot trust the baby for anything. But you can love. Okay, right now you can trust because it cannot roll. But the minute it starts to roll, you cannot trust itself to not to fall off. Okay, so you cannot trust. So you need to realize it's love that begins. But as that baby grows or any person grows, what has to grow is trust. Grow in trust. And almost all relationship, the issue is with trust. It's not with love. It's not with love. People think it's with love. It's not actually got to do with love. It's got to do with trust. And they are like twins. They work together. They work together. So if you ever ask people who are going through conflict, you ask them, do you love each other? And they will think about it and they will say yes. Even if you ask divorced people, do you love your ex-spouse? If they were to honestly look back and they will say, yes, I still do. Then why did you leave? Couldn't trust anymore. Couldn't trust anymore. That's an actual statistics out of 9 out of 10 divorced couples. They have checked statistics and they asked them all and they found out 99% of them said they still love. Still love. Then what was the issue? They said there's an absolute breakdown in trust. Couldn't trust anymore. So when God is coming to us, he's telling us, build trust. Don't do things that will break down trust. Always focus on that. It is not a question of love. It's a question of trust. That is why God is saying your yes should be yes and your no. That's why we can trust God, because he already, let us say, we use this word, hamstrung. Okay? He's already hamstrung himself by his word. Okay. He said, I have put limits around myself. I am unlimited, but I have limited myself within this word. And you can trust me. I will not go outside this. When it comes to my relationship with you, you can trust me. I am not a man that I should lie, nor the son of man. If I have said something, I will do it. You can take it to the bank with you. That is why we can trust God. We can trust God. Okay, so that's what God is talking about. Why? Because these things are all important. These things are all important because we are moving into a period of time where there is neither trust nor love. Okay, unmerciful people. That's what the picture we are seeing. God says, you live like that, I will allow you to be tormented 5 months by creatures that have been locked up in the abyss for thousands of years, who will show no mercy at all, that you will cry for mercy and saying, Lord, just let me die. And you won't be able to die because death would be mercy to you. Okay, you didn't like my rule, right? Live under the other fellow. This is what you wanted. I will allow him. All these years I restrained him. Now I am taking my restraining influence off. But as terrible as this judgment is, the first two, it will be eclipsed by the terror of the sixth trumpet judgment which unleashes. Then the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar which is before God, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. Okay, so now this is different. Okay, these ones, if you look here, so the four angels who had been prepared for the hour, the day, the month, and year were released to kill a third of mankind. Now the number of the army of the horsemen were 200 million. I heard the number of them. You need to understand the total number of all the armies of the world during Second World War was 70 million. Okay. You're looking at a number that has never happened before. Okay. Never happened before. Let's go back. These angels are going to be released. Okay, four angels are going to release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. Like I said, this is the first time in the Bible we are introduced to them. Okay, introduced to them. We do not know who they are. We do not know why they were bound. Okay, we do not know who they are. Please understand, Euphrates, that basin is the cradle of human civilization. It was one of the rivers that came from the Garden of Eden. In Genesis 2:14, of the four rivers, when it splits into four, this is the only river we know which still has the same name. The name of the third river is Hiddekel. It is the one which goes towards the east of Assyria. The fourth river is Euphrates. Okay, so you can track Euphrates back all the way to the Garden of Eden before it was removed. Okay. Second, it was also meant to be the original boundary of Israel by covenant. Genesis 15 and verse 18, God will, when he gives, marks the boundary to Abraham. This is what he says. On the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham saying, to your descendants I have given this land from the river of Egypt to the great river Euphrates. The boundary was from Nile to Euphrates was given to Israel. It will happen when Jesus comes. Israel, then that current Israel, at that time, the millennium reign, Jerusalem will be the capital of Israel. It will be from Nile to Euphrates. Okay, it will be given to them. This was also here, in this area, where the first murder was committed. The first bloodshed of humans. This was also the place where the first war was fought. The Tower of Babel, the beginning of Babylon. Okay, the beginning of Babylon. All started in this area. Okay, all started in this area. So, the question is this. You know the Tower of Babylon, or Babel, the tower, all this, you go into this ancient civilization, they talk big about it in South America, Mexico, the Aztecs and all. If you look, they are all towards heaven. But at the top of it is for sacrifice, usually human sacrifice. And they were killed in their thousands. All these places were human sacrifices. So there were demonic entities involved. Even Babel was a demonic thing. It was trying to make a portal into the demonic realm. It's not God's heaven. It was, he was trying, they were trying to get into the second heaven. Okay, so Babel begins over there. So we do not know whether these four angels were involved in it. Four principalities were involved in it. And they were bound by God after he confused and scattered them. We do not remember Nimrod, the whole legend of Nimrod and his mother all begins from here. So that is where Euphrates comes into the picture. Okay. So many things we do not know. Like we say, we do not know how the pyramids were built. It doesn't look human. Doesn't look human. Okay. So there are so many things which is hidden from us, the demonic, and we are going slowly back to it. We are going back to it where the demonic and the human are coming together again. So when you come back to the verse 13, 9:13, the sixth angel sounded and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar which is before God. You know, in Exodus 27 and verse 2, if I'm right. Okay. Yeah, 27:2. You shall make its horns on its four corners, and its horns shall be of one piece with it, and you shall overlay it with bronze. Okay, now this is the horns to which you could cling to for mercy. Okay. But what is happening here is, there is no mercy. There is no mercy. Okay. There is no mercy. Once they are released, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. Once they, we will see this actual event taking place in Revelation 17, okay? They will cross over, which is interesting, okay? In 1965, in the Time magazine, there was an article prepared, published about China. And the Chinese of those days boasted that they are ready with a 200 million army. Exact number. The Chinese talked about it, and we actually believe it will come from this side, Indochina, this area will all fall into that, and that is from where the 200 million army will come. So once they are released, a great war will begin, which is described, okay, 200 million, they are released. Basically, I believe this will be demons, these demons will possess the humans, 200 million, and incite them to war. The number of the army of the horsemen was 200 million and I heard the number of them. Okay, and then God uses various symbols to see how this army go towards 17 and all, how they march, okay. Thus I saw the horses in the vision. Those who sat on them had breastplates of fiery red, hyacinth blue, sulfur yellow. The heads of the horses were like the heads of lions and out of their mouths came fire, smoke and brimstone. Now what we are looking at is probably even more advanced weapons. You see, somebody is look, if somebody were to see Apache helicopter 2000 years ago, what would he see? How would he even describe it? Yeah. He has nothing to correlate to. Relate to describe today's modern battle tank itself. He sees the battle tank and the fire coming out. How would you describe it? How would you describe it? Okay, so we are talking about huge mechanized columns moving men. Okay, so, but please remember, there's something there. Smoke, fire, smoke and brimstone. That is how they were killed. A third of mankind is killed. In chapter 6, we saw one-fourth of mankind was killed. By the time here, a third is killed, meaning today's population is 8 billion. That means 4 billion will die. 4 billion human beings would have died by this time. Okay, so God is through various symbols teaching us the terrible, evil nature of the demons. Okay, of the demons. That's what happened when Eve listened to Satan. She and Adam obeyed his voice. They opened up earth to an influx of demons. And Jesus has come to empower us to shut the door to them. Okay? If you look at their power, for their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails are like serpents, having heads, and with them they do harm. Remember, in the first war, it was scorpions. In the second war, they are like snakes. And he says, behold, I give you power over snakes and scorpions. Okay? They're talking about the demonic. He says, I have given you power upon, and you shall trample upon them. Okay? If you come, their power is in their mouth and in their tail. Okay? If you come to Revelation 12 and verse 4, his tail drew a third of the angels of the heaven and threw them to the earth. Okay, so the tail keeps coming back. Okay, the serpent's tail keeps coming back. So if you go over there, it says his mouth and his tail. Okay. Yeah, come down. Yeah, 19. Their power is in their mouth and in their tails. Okay. If you look at the Gnostic books, there's one called Pistis Sophia. Okay, there are lots of them, and it's part of occult culture. It's called Ouroboros. It's a 12-part snake or dragon. Snake, okay. Where if you see it, it surrounds the earth. And its tail is in its mouth. The snake. Okay. That is how they ascribe divinity to Satan. He's the ancient serpent. Okay, he gives you eternal life, and he surrounds the whole earth with his body, and his mouth, his tail is in his mouth. Meaning, you can't escape him. You can't escape. Today we call it the circle. You cannot escape the circle. You do, you die. So you see, God is warning us. He's showing us what is actually happening. Okay, he will say these demonic entities. And I do believe this 200 million army are men who have altars. You see, CIA started this years and years back, what was called MK Ultra programming. MK Ultra programming is to create altars who are ruthless in battle. They are programmed. They're programmed. And I do believe all the armies in the world, major armies in the world, are creating hybrids. Who will show no mercy, who will have no issue with pain, and they will be absolutely demonic. And that kind of soldiers will be released on earth. They will show no mercy. Like we see all the shootings taking place, so created by altars. And they have no remorse, nothing at all. Because the altar goes in, the other person comes out, and you cannot even find out why he did it. Okay? And there are troops and regiments, and they are all into occult. Every army, you will see them killing the snake, drinking their blood and all that, invoking powers. Absolutely demonic, ruthless they are. And I do believe that's what they are preparing everything for, okay? But please remember, everything is precisely controlled by God. In the first vow, he says 5 months. Boundaries. Don't touch anything green, don't kill anybody. You're only allowed to torment. Second one in verse 15, it's so clear. 1 year, 1 month, 1 day, 1 hour. Once the 60 second is over, he says stop. Okay. It was 1 day, 1 month, 1 year, 1 month, 1 day, 1 hour. Day. Scripture, of course, you know, anyway. Hebrew is also written from one side to the other side. We would read it the other way. 1 year, 1 month, 1 day, 1 hour, and it stops. But by the time it stops, please remember, half the population in the world is gone. And the interesting part is verse 20 and 21. Even after all this, but the rest of the mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands. They did not repent of the works of their hands. Okay. Same case in Egypt too. Why would they, after that 10 plagues, get their army and go after Egypt? After Israel. And that's when God destroyed them. Okay? God destroyed them. So please understand, in the story of the rich man and Lazarus in Luke 16:30, Jesus made it very clear. People don't die because they are sinners. No. 16:30. No, Father Abraham, if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. People don't die because they are sinners, because then everybody should die. It's only because they do not repent. That's the only reason. And God will do everything possible. We will actually understand the mercy and the grace of God, how he will do everything possible to cause man to repent, and still they will not repent. They will not repent. And then the Bible talks about, there in that portion talks about the four things, okay? They did not repent of what? Of their, go to verse 20. Yeah. They did not repent of what is the work? That is idolatry. The work of their hands. Idolatry. Which, of course, is the one which comes into worship of demons. Idol stone. So the idols is not what is the issue. Like we understand in our country very well that even when the Pristan, when they're putting an idol on that day, what they're doing is they're invoking the demon to come, the spirit to come into it. And when they finish their 14 days, when they immerse it, they're asking the demon, you can go back. But 14 days, you come and bless my home. Okay, that's basically what happens. So it is not the idols, it is the demons behind them, and that's people will worship. So the first thing God condemns is idolatry. Okay, idolatry. And then in verse 21, he will talk about they didn't repent of their murder. Okay, murder, which includes hatred. Okay, it's hatred that leads to murder. Unbelievable hatred people have. Unbelievable hatred people are, with no reason. You look at some of those TV, these things which comes from the West, you will see that in this racial hatred. Doesn't make any sense. You know it is demonic. Okay? It's demonic, the hatred that is there. And if they were given power, what would they do? Okay. And then there is sorcery. Okay, sorcery, which is what we see, because the other word for sorcery is, of course, pharmakia, which is we see the rampant drug abuse, like hundreds and thousands dying every year, like just lying on the streets and dying. You will see what happens. And then, of course, what porn has done. These are all in the last days. Okay. And then it talks about stealing. Okay. Theft is at the highest ever in human history. They are trying to figure out how many billions are stolen every year through cybercrime. Theft. Okay. Absolute thefts at the highest. And on the streets of America, they're just released with steel. Okay. So, what you see is, it all will be legitimized. Pharmacare is being legitimized. Okay. All will be legitimized. And the question is, are we sealed? Are we sealed by the Holy Spirit? That's the only thing. Do we love God? So there is going to be a 200 million army which is getting ready in the background. Okay. So we will see, even our age, Satanism is at the highest. And before we close, we will see how Satan imitates everything. Okay. In Revelation 7:1. I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth. The wind should not blow on the earth. Okay, these are gods. You come to 9:14, Revelation 9:14. Okay. Saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. He duplicates everything. Duplicates. He has duplicated the Trinity. He duplicates the four angels here to four. Everything. He is the original fellow who started reverse engineering. Okay. So, I think he's Chinese. He's the one who does it. He's not Chinese. Chinese are very good people. Okay, Chinese. But we need to understand history behind why. Okay, China was once a great empire. And the British defeated them. And the British defeated them through the, it was called the Opium Wars. You have to see the pictures, black and white pictures from the ancient past of how the British pumped opium into China and destroyed that generation by making them into addicts. Now they are saying this is payback. We will destroy you without firing a single bullet. We'll destroy you, that you will have no more young men to fight. Because it's said that years and years ago, the Chinese decided it's impossible to beat US militarily, but we can defeat them without fighting militarily by destroying their youth. And they have bought all the politicians. Bieber, that Schweitzer's book has come called Blood Money, with all his this thing and how he says the entire coterie of leadership in US, including the Bidens, the Mitch McConnell, all are in the Chinese hands. That's why they allow all this to happen. They have bought them. Bought them. So we are seeing absolute demonic stuff happening before our eyes. That's why the border has been opened. Illegals are flooding in, and tens and thousands of pounds of drugs are pouring in. And what you see in America is just people lying, dying, just dying on the streets. That you are so scared to buy anything because you don't know whether it is laced with this. Okay, so you need to understand these are all demonic things. That's why the battles we fight, why we fight, because between them and their agenda, on earth stands one man called Trump. One man. They have to stop him. Because if he comes back, he will stop it. He will stop it. If he comes back, he will stop it. Because it's not difficult to stop. You just shut the border. Shut the border. And this time, if he comes back, they know he will roll back their agenda for years, years together. So they are desperate. That's why we pray. Because like I said in the Nepali meeting, we have to keep on praying, because technically he has had good news this week. The Supreme Court again took his immunity claim. So they didn't want that, the others, but they have taken it. That means it will go till June. The whole idea is delay. How will any of this court with the New York civil fraud, doesn't matter, it's a question of money. The Georgia matters, but it is like boomerang. Fannie Willis has made a mess of herself, so how it will play out, we do not know. So that and the 2-3 cases, the federal cases, are what matters. The federal cases may get delayed. Nothing may happen this year. The thing is that if he wins, their cases are over. Because he's the president. AG is appointed by him. The cases are pulled back. They are trying everything. They're trying everything. So we have to stay prayed up, because they will create another crisis. They work. They are demonic. These people are demonic. They don't care about lives, how many millions die through another pestilence. They don't care. They will hold on to power by any means. And therefore, the only people they fear are the church. Just that pray. That's why we should stay prayed up. We prayed up and never give. That's why God said, don't give up. Keep praying. Because sometimes you don't see results on the earth, because the battle is raging over there. It's a battle raging over there, but we never give up, because, simply because, the lives of our own children are on the line. All the next generation, everyone's line, life is on the line. Though we have a reason. That's what Nehemiah said. Fight for your children. Fight for your children. Fight for others' children. Fight for the next generation. Otherwise, they will not come through. It is not easy. Don't guarantee. Because God said in the verses we read, if Job, Noah, and Daniel, three righteous men, were to be alive in that generation, they won't be able to save their children, their families, only themselves. Because that would be how dangerous. Imagine Noah could save his family. But God says, what we are talking about, Noah will not be able to save his family. They also would be swallowed under judgment. He would be only be able to save himself. So, we pray. And we keep on praying. We keep on praying. Keep on battling. Keep on preaching. It doesn't matter who understands. Those who need to understand will understand. Okay. So we shall pray. Let's have Peter up. And we shall pray. Yes, we shall Peter up and prayed up.
You were on your throne, you were God alone, and right now, in the good times and bad, you were on your throne, you were God alone.
Jesus, 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 Jesus. Lord, we just thank you. We just thank you, Lord. We just thank you for bringing us through, Lord. 2 months, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. If we were truly to see every day, Lord, the enemy came to steal, to kill, to destroy. But you kept us. Your hand was upon your people, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. We stand on the first day of this month. And we just want to magnify your holy name, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
We stand here in faith, believing what you have said. For your word is forever settled in the heavens, O Lord. You said, these signs shall follow those who believe. They shall cast out demons. Demons will not have authority over us. You have given us authority over them, Lord. So we command every demonic entity that is afflicting God's people to leave in Jesus' name. You said you shall pick up snakes. You shall bring, even if you drink poison, it shall not harm you. Doesn't matter what they lay stuff with. Food and medicines and water and every format they use. We stand by faith that we will not be harmed. Not because poison does not have harm, but you will disable its power. By faith we stand, O Lord. It is not because fire cannot burn, but when you stand with us, the fire does not have the power to burn us, O Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. We believe, therefore we speak, Lord. Many, many, many out there in the body of Christ who are afflicted in the body, but we continue to speak deliverance in the name of Jesus. We bind those spirits of infirmity in the name of Jesus. We command it to leave in Jesus' name. We break every curse that has passed on from previous generations. We break it in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We stand on your word. Your word says, if any man, woman is in Christ Jesus, he or she is a new creation. All things have passed away. I pray people will believe and confess that all things have passed away. There is a change in fatherhood. There's a change in DNA that right now we are of Christ and Christ alone, O God, O Master. Therefore, we rebuke those spirits of infirmity in the name of Jesus. We speak healing. We speak strength in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We commit to your two children, Lord, who turn another year today.
Yes, so, Lord.
Deepika here, Lord, and Sophie. We bless them in your
yes,
name.
Lord. Yes, Lord.
May the hand of God rest upon both your daughters.
Yes, Lord. Thank
be
you,
with
Father.
Them. Go before them.
Yes, Lord.
Order their footsteps.
Yes, Lord.
And one day when they look back, they all should be able to say, our lines have fallen in pleasant places.
Yes, yes, hallelujah.
God was good to us. All his plans and his purposes for both of them come to pass.
Oh, yes, Lord. Thank
commit
you,
the whole church into the hands here and all our churches. Read the blood of Jesus over every individual, every family. Let this month each one walk by faith and experience the victory of God in their lives, oh Lord. And that kingdom be established in each one even more stronger by the passing hour, oh Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Once again, we stand in your house and we declare, thine is the kingdom,
the power,
and the glory
forever and ever.
Amen. Amen.